your hoops rolling on here. Jones and Keefe, WEI Jones off this the rest of the week. So we have Billy Laney has slid over. Nick is still here. And Terp talking some hoops. We're talking about the Jaylen Brown article. If you guys want to weigh in on that, you can at 617-779-7937. I love a list. I love a power ranking. You name it. The all-NBA quarter century teams. I've not seen anybody do this yet. I'm not saying it's an original idea. I'm just saying I haven't seen anything. I think we're getting out in front.
I think so, too.
Right?
I'd call this an original idea.
Because they did ESPN a couple of weeks ago, and me and Jones went over it. They did the all-quarter century football team.
Yeah.
Right? They did like a 53-man roster. So we're doing like all-NBA teams. So first, second, third. We're going old rules where it has to be two backcourt, three frontcourt.
They should bring that back.
Not just the five. Like, positionless is stupid.
Bring it back.
I get not wanting to like shoehorn in a center every time because there's not like maybe as many good centers and you want like an add another forward. But anyway, we're going to do it because it's our rules. Two guards, three forwards. You want to start with the first team?
Yeah, let's
start
with
the
first team.
Build the anticipation because I think the first team might be a little bit more obvious, although maybe not obvious.
This might be unanimous.
It might be. So we're going since 2000. Meaning that season, obviously. So if the guy was really, really good in 98, 99, then good for him, but it doesn't really
count.
Help their cause here. There's a couple very, very obvious. I did go back and forth on one, so I'm curious who your top five are.
All right. LeBron James.
LeBron James.
Oh, my God.
Cavs LeBron. Miami LeBron.
Oh, LeBron.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Laker LeBron.
LeBron James.
Yep.
Steph Curry.
Yep.
Kobe Bryant. Tim Duncan. Shaq.
So you know what?
It's the exact same list.
No. That was my original list.
Oh.
You swapped it out.
Jokic
over Shaq.
I went back and forth on that one, too.
So this one, again, and the reason why I even specifically said 90 stats don't count is because Shaquille O'Neal had a run of all NBA teams. He brought the Magic to a finals, all of that. Even his early Laker days, dominant in the 90s.
Right.
So he did win the titles. So he won way more titles than Jokic did. But Jokic has won three MVPs and finished runner-up two other years.
And he probably got robbed of at least one of those.
I think he should have won all of them.
Yeah, he definitely should have won the Embiid year.
I think he should have won this year.
Case this year. He was the first center to ever average a triple-double.
This was his best year, and he didn't win. He scored more points than he's ever scored. He grabbed more rebounds, I think, than he's ever grabbed. He had more assists than he's ever grabbed. This was his best year,
yeah.
And they gave it to SGA. He also had two other All-NBA seasons, but not even talking about the five in a row. So I my first thought was, Shaq, obviously Shaq. And then when I was like comparing the two, I ended up going with Jokic. I don't think there's really a wrong answer here. Do you want to break the tie?
No, I don't think there is either. And I would only go with Shaq in this situation because how Shaq changed that position.
Yeah.
You know, players, teams had to adjust how they did things because of his size and his abilities and stuff like that. So the impact on the position, I think Shaq is over him. But, you know, the numbers are in your favor.
He does have four titles and Jokic has one. So like, if you want to use that as a tiebreaker, I mean, Shaq has four since 2000, three in a row with the Lakers, then one later on with the Heat. Curry, Kobe, LeBron, Duncan, got to be on everybody's list, though. Those four have to be unanimous. Kobe had some time prior to 2000s, but he didn't really hit his stride until the 2000s. And all those other guys, Duncan had the 99 title, but even still, he had a bunch of other titles since 2000.
So somebody would argue Garnett over Duncan, though?
I don't think you can.
I mean, you don't think there's any argument for it.
I think there was.
I mean, championships aside.
I think there was a season or two that you could, but I think totality,
gotcha.
I mean, Duncan's pretty overwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't argue Duncan, of course not, but just you think of Garnett and what he did.
Garnett was insane. Duncan's won five total titles, four post-2000, was a two-time league MVP, a three-times final MVP. 15 times all NBA.
Duncan had him beat in points per game, rebounds per game, blocks per game, has more championships, more first team all NBA, more all NBA period, more all defensive teams, more MVPs, finals
it's
MVPs.
Bananas.
It's
and
nuts.
They're tied for all stars, but for the most part, he hasn't beat
And they'll call him the most boring person.
I was going to say, Garnett, better personality by far, leaps and bounds. But no,
but when it comes up to showing up and working, nobody tops
Tim Duncan. Duncan's probably top 10 all time player.
I mean, if
I don't think
was,
people don't like putting him in there, but it's like it's his stats, it is his consistency, his longevity.
You think part of that is his personality, kind of 100%. Similar to Tatum?
Yes.
Like, if Duncan was like Kevin Garnett, like screaming and yelling, like, I think he'd be
differently. The guys that he gets sort of like lumped in with from this era that you like either have him like eighth all time or like 12th all time are like Kobe, Shaq, like Garnett. Like, those guys are all like huge personalities. And the Spurs, and it's like the Spurs. It's not like the Lakers. They were never a cool team.
They were so good, though.
It was always like, the Spurs
teams were so good.
Oh, they were. All right, so we have 4 out of 5 unanimous on the first team. What do you got for the second team?
Steve Nash, 2 MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
James Harden, only player in NBA history with three scoring titles and 2 assist titles.
How about that?
So I like James Harden there. Kevin Durant, Giannis, and Jokic.
Okay, so we have not as much overlap here. My backcourt is Allen Iverson and Dwayne Wade.
Nice.
So Iverson got an MVP in there. I think it was the 01 season.
Yep.
He made a finals appearance, scoring titles, a ton of all NBAs. He was good in the 90s too, but he had some of his best years in the 2000s. Dwayne Wade, I think, obviously as a Celtics fan, was not like a huge fan of his by any means, but you could make the case since Jordan, only Kobe's a better two guard. Like, he might be the best two guard besides Kobe.
I think he's overlooked a little bit because of the talent when they had LeBron and Bosh. But people forget that he won a title. Essentially,
he was the best player on that team. Player. Shaq was still good. But Dwayne Wade was the best player.
And he won
player.
Finals MVP that year.
Correct.
And he had an all-time bad statue.
Yeah,
and he has two more statues. Yes. Great point,
Nick. That is brutal. That's
tough statue.
Didn't they take it down and like redo it?
I think they might have.
They need to.
Statues are not easy to make it. Exactly right. As somebody that was in the Pro Football Hall of Fame recently, Bragg, a lot of those busts.
And you can't take your eyes off the
sick.
Nice try.
That was actually a great misclick.
So I'm going AI and D-Wade, although your two guys I like, and you know, I might mention them in a minute. I'm going Giannis on the second team. I'm going Shaquille O'Neal, because I didn't have him on the first team. I put him on the second team. And I'm going Dirk Nowitzki. Dirk was, I swear, he was one of the players that there was a stretch of games I feel like I never saw him miss. I would like, I'd like pop it on like TNT, like, oh, Dirk, he hit everything.
That knee up fall away, he never missed a shot using
now
that.
Now that's a hell of a statue. Right out front of the American Airlines Center, they have him doing the knee up fadeaway.
That's pretty
cool.
It
is a sick statue.
But does his face look like him?
Yeah, it's actually not bad.
Yeah, it does.
And it's pretty big.
Yeah,
it's a nice statue.
And
it's not the sad little Iverson statue that Philly gave him.
No, it's not that. Yeah, you just like pick it up and bring with you.
Right.
But yeah, MVP, he beat LeBron James in an NBA Finals. So Dirk Nowitzki for me was insane. All those all NBA teams. So I got him on my second team.
I was going back and forth between Dirk and Kevin Durant as to where to go there. But I think the accolades went towards Durant.
Mm-hmm.
So third team here. I have D-Wade on the third team. Then I have Jason Kidd. Now, this was a tough one.
Really?
We'll see where you go next. But
interesting.
Jason Kidd, Kawhi Leonard, obviously Dirk, like I mentioned, and then Kevin Garnett.
Okay. Interesting. I did not go Kidd, but I went with the guys, actually, believe it or not. So we didn't look at each other's list ahead of time. So this is a surprise in real time. Your backcourt from the second team is my third team, Steve Nash, James Harden. James Harden, I went back and forth on because he's a tough guy to figure out. He's had a lot of really bad playoff appearances, and obviously he's never won a title, but he is an MVP. He has some insane stats. Even this year, you thought he's done. He's back on an all-NBA team this year. So I give James Harden that spot. I can't stand Kevin Durant, but I can't ignore all what he's done. So I got Durant on there with Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Garnett.
So we had the same there at the end.
We have a lot of overlap. So Jason Kidd, why Jason Kidd?
So I was actually going back and forth with him and Chris Paul. But when I'm looking at those two, it's like Jason Kidd led those Nets teams to 2 NBA Finals. Obviously won one with the Mavericks, and Chris Paul has only been to one, and they got destroyed.
So I think Chris Paul is the most overrated player maybe in league history. He like because if you just look at his all-NBAs and like all-stars, you're like, oh, he's one of like the 15 best players
all defensive
ever.
Too. He has a bunch of defensive teams, yeah.
I can't stand him. I don't think you can win with him. He was on all those Clippers teams.
How did none of those teams make the finals?
Didn't make
How?
The conference finals.
Conference finals. How did none of those teams make the conference finals?
Him, Blake Griffin, and DeAndre Jordan were all NBA at the same time. And, well, they had Doc Rivers, so that held them back.
Yeah, definitely.
And then they'd lose in the second round every year. And they'd get
my Larry
they'd have like a big lead and they would lose.
Cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
So two guys, Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook.
That was another one I was
are two guys with. That have some pretty amazing accolades, but I was like, I can't put them.
Maybe that's recency bias with
it
Russ.
Is.
It's like, this guy is a roller coaster. Like, but so, back in the day, he was.
Admittedly, two of my toughest omissions actually were Paul Pierce.
That was
and Jason Tatum. Tatum has a legit case to actually be on here. I think another year or two, because he has, what, 5 straight first-team All-NBA? No, 4 straight.
No, five straight All-NBA, four straight first team.
And a title? Like, he is right there. I think you could make it. If he's on someone's list, I don't think that's a homer take. I think if he's on your third team for the quarter century, that's fair.
I totally agree. I would have Pierce over him still, though.
Oh, really?
I would still have Pierce over Tatum as of right now. Yeah, I think eventually Tatum will pass him. So as it stands right now.
I love Pierce. I just feel like Tatum has more All-NBAs. They each have one title. Pierce does have the finals MVP, but, I mean, Tatum had a great playoff run. And they each have two finals appearances on their belts. I just and Paul Pierce, as much as I love the guy, was never first-team All-NBA, not even once. So I think Tatum a little bit better, but both of them just miss.
And the fact that you're having this conversation about Jason Tatum, yeah, who's 27 years old, yeah, is that says a lot about where he's at, what he's accomplished as a player. And, man, it just, you really hope this doesn't derail his career, this Achilles injury, because it just puts it in perspective of how good this guy is. I think night in and night out, it might be taken for granted a little bit, because it's just, you've grown so used to it. We've been seeing it for 8 or 9 years now, just how night in and night out, how dominant this guy is. I think people kind of lose it sometimes and be like, oh, it's just Jason Tatum doing Jason Tatum things. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's really, when you have these types of conversations and you just see how close he is to these names already at 27.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's special.
None of you guys had Kawhi Leonard?
I did.
Yeah,
13.
13. I threw him in quick. Yeah, he's a good one.
I had first and second team in mind. I'm like, I don't think they mentioned Kawhi Leonard. I'm like, okay, he didn't get missed.
No, he's legitimate.
Dwight Howard.
So Dwight Howard had a good run. I didn't put him on there. I think there was enough front court guys, but he'd be in the mix. Did you consider Joel Embiid at all?
I didn't. Tracy McGrady was another one that I wanted to put out there.
Snub.
Vince Carter was another one.
Vince was good.
It was, you know, tough to leave off. But it's tough. You only get 15 spots.
Only 15 spots. Who else? I think we did all the MVPs, at least mentioned them. They're not all on our list. I mean, Derrick Rose, but then all the injuries. SGA, I mean, he's got to do a few more years. I mean, his stats for this season were incredible, or his accolades for this season were really as good as you could get. But no, that's pretty good. You know, Ray Allen, didn't really consider him. He had a good run, had some good stuff in there.
And today's NBA, man, he'd be like the scoring champ. He'd be the guy. He'd be jacking up.
He'd be the guy. All right, so Terp will make a graphic, and you guys can let us know at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and on Instagram. We'll post that. First, second, and third team since 2000 in the NBA. Two backcourt, three frontcourt is the rule. That's what we're doing. If you have any thoughts or questions about the Celtics, Terps going to stick around a little bit longer. 617-779-7937. The latest on Al Horford, Damian Lillard, and that hothead Jordan Walsh getting thrown out of a summer league game. We'll get to all that coming up next here on WEEI.
The Red Sox Station. WEEI. WEEI. New England Sports Original.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app and take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Back here at Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Still some more pure hoops here with Justin Turpin, covers the C's for WEEI.com. We always have to explain this, and maybe some of this is just trolling or just messing around. Every time we do a list since 2000, you always get the people that miss that part. So Terp and I just did our all NBA teams. No. We've gotten Magic Johnson and John Stockton texts.
We got one about Curry too. Who was on it?
Curry
Both
was
of us
on
had
it.
Him on the first team.
We're gonna post these. Don't you worry. They're gonna be on at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and on Instagram. Our all NBA team since 2000. You had mentioned earlier though in the show, Al Horford. You feel like all but done deal to the Warriors.
Yeah, it seems that way. And again, when Jason Tatum went down, that's kind of where his tune changed, and that's when he opened up the idea of possibly finishing his career elsewhere. And at this point, it just makes the most sense. As much as it probably sucks for Celtics fans to see him go again, it doesn't make sense. Like, the next time that Jason Tatum, assuming he misses all of next year, the next time that Jason Tatum on the floor with Al Horford, Al will be 40. And Al Horford can still contribute, man. He was arguably the Celtics' best defender last year in the postseason, and there's metrics to back that up. And he did it against all five positions. Like, he's one of the rare breeds right now, even at 39 now. He's one of those rare breeds that can still guard 1 through 5 as a big. Like, you can't really find that. Mm-hmm. And he can also stretch the floor. He can shoot threes. Like, there's going to be a market for him, obviously. That's why the Warriors are throwing money at him. And I'm just wondering how much the Jonathan Kuminga decision is kind of factoring into that.
Yeah, so you get a little bit more money. Yeah.
It's essentially the worst kept secret in basketball, it seems, right now, that Al Horford will be a Warrior. Steph Curry had a little bit of a slip up the other day when he was talking about Al. He's like, if it happens.
Nice.
Like,
all right. So that's going to happen.
Bag there. Yeah.
It's a good spot for him.
It's a great spot for him. Yeah. It's a great, and I think out of the rumored options, like obviously the Lakers were up there, and it felt like they were gone once they signed DeAndre Ayton. Nobody wanted to see Al Horford go to the Lakers. Yeah. Denver, I think, would have been a good fit as well, but it doesn't seem like they're going to be the ones to land him. I think Golden State's a good opportunity, and that team, you pair that defensive front court. I know we're talking a lot about the Celtics front court and how weak they are. That front court of Draymond Green and Al Horford defensively, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then you have Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry. I thought last year the Warriors could have made some noise in the postseason. They were terrific right after they got Jimmy Butler.
Right.
Obviously, Curry got hurt in the playoffs, and that was that. But like that team could make some noise, and it's a bunch of guys that have played in big games. Mm-hmm. Curry, Butler, Al, Green, all these guys have played in big moments, big games. So I think that's going to go a long way. So good for Horford. Get one more payday, get another chance to kind of chase it. And I'm sure the Celtics, you know, Jason Tatum, maybe not as much Jaylen Brown, like as much as he wants to kind of compete this year. I think for the most part, though, they understand it. Like, go out and try to get your money, go out and try to win one more. And it just didn't align with the timeline anymore.
Yeah. It's going to be tough for Brad because Brad Stevens clearly loves Al Horford. He brought him back the second he took over that job. And now he's like,
and there's no
money restraints. He can't really offer him a ton. Plus, he can't offer him a realistic shot at another title.
There's no ill will, I don't think.
No.
At all. I think everyone kind of understands the situation the Celtics find themselves in, and they can't afford Al Horford. And right now, if you're going to be retooling for a year, you know what Al Horford can do. And by the time, again, when he shares the court with Tatum again, is he going to be the same Al Horford? Like, you don't know. You have to take flyers at this point, and that's why they brought in guys like Josh Minot and Luka Garza, guys that can potentially contribute down the road. So, yeah, it makes total sense.
You think he signs for multiple years with the Warriors? Or do you think it's kind of like a one-year
deal?
I would imagine it's a
one-year deal, and we'll play it by year, see what happens with them. I think that's kind of what it would be, probably the mid-level, right around probably like $5 to $8 million, just somewhere in there, have him come in, championship experience to a team already ripe with it, a guy that can still contribute. So, I think it'll probably be a one-year deal, and they'll play it by year.
What do you think ultimately happens with Damian Lillard? Obviously, the report came out the other day that, you know, Jason Tatum's even recruiting him here, even though both might not play at all next season. Yeah. Getting up there, I mean, mid-30s, coming off the injury that he's coming off of, where do you think he ends up?
Well, I think where there's smoke, there's fire. Okay. And I think this does make a lot of sense for Damian Lillard and the Celtics. He's not going to be asked to be the Damian Lillard he was in the past. Like, even with Milwaukee, he averaged 24 points a game. Like, he's still
he can't help but score. The guy's
a great three-point shooter. Yep. Now, I do worry a little bit because his game centers a lot on his explosiveness and his athleticism and, you know, that could sometimes take a hit once you have an Achilles injury, a major injury like that. And he's also getting up there in age. But I think if he wants to have a chance to compete, what does Damian Lillard have to accomplish still in his basketball career right now?
A title.
If he wants a chance to do that with the team like Jason Tatum and him played together in the Olympics, there seems to be a bond there. Clearly, if Jason Tatum's recruiting him, if you want a chance to get a title, the Celtics are going to, as soon as Jason Tatum steps back and he's healthy, the Celtics are going to go right back into win-now mode because you have to take advantage of the time that you have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown on the team together. You just have to do that. So they're going to be spending right away. That's the expectation. That's kind of what ownership and what Brad Stevens and Mike Zarin are making it sound like. As soon as he's back, we're going to go right back into this thing. And they're going to be contenders. As long as you have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown on the floor together, you are a contender. So there should be some drag to that for Damian Lillard.
I just don't know. Because he's one of my favorite players to watch. Like, I've loved Damian Lillard since the second he came into the league. And for everybody that thought he was washed, he was top 10 in the NBA in both points and assists last year.
Right.
Like, so he's coming off this massive injury. So who knows if he's going to be as productive going forward. I just think if they keep the roster somewhat similar and you have Derek White and you have Peyton Pritchard, and now you're like, oh, and we also have Damian Lillard. Like, if your five best players are all 6'6 and under.
Right.
Like, if there was a big man equivalent of Lillard, right? You know, a guy that's older, like an Anthony Davis or somebody like that who's like older, been hurt, coming off an injury, you're like, we could take a chance on him. It would make more sense for the team than bringing in Lillard.
I think that's where the money factors in, though.
Yeah.
Because if you're giving him a mid-level, right around $5 million, you can still go out and spend next season on a big man and really shore up your front court. And again, it's just like, I think with what they have right now, he's not going to be asked to be the old Damian Lillard. Like, it's going to actually create opportunity for him in a way. I think I do worry a little bit about the defense, though. And the Celtics have been just so lucky with the fact that nobody on their roster has been a defensive liability over the last two seasons. I think Peyton Pritchard, maybe Sam Hauser, maybe, but like those guys are always going to have their limitations because of size or whatever it may be. As soon as you're going to have defensive liabilities on the floor now, and like people are going to have to kind of come to grips with that. So I think there is some makings for Damian Lillard to come here. It makes a lot of sense.
Would he want to be the sixth man?
At this point, I think he just wants to win.
Yeah.
Like, he really can't – that beggars can't be choosers at this point. I don't think a team's going to – at this point, he'll probably never be a number one again. Like,
right.
That's just the reality.
So that's one thing for him to hear that, but, for, like, as the player, would he be able to accept that role?
I think so.
You know
I
what I mean?
So. Like, with the way the Celtics play, I think I think he definitely could. And I don't know. We'll see what happens with it. And if he wants to sign before – I think if you're the Celtics, you might wait until next year. So just because of the cap situation you find yourself in now, which is, again, there's still less than $500,000 over the second apron. It's like $300,000 or whatever. Like, they can easily maneuver under that, but you're going to need a big. You don't want to be paying Damian Lillard to rehab when you don't have literally anyone in your front court.
Last thing, anything jump out or worthwhile from Summer League so far?
Yeah, I think Charles Bassey's the one to look at because he's come off the street and has given you an opportunity to sign somebody as a big man. Like, we've been talking about over the last hour here. Like, you know, he can take a minimum and you'd still be under the second apron. And it makes a lot of sense. I mean, there's a reason he's available, right? You see some kind of gaps and whatever that he has when he's on the floor. Obviously, there's been an injury history as well. But this is a guy that, you know, kind of fell in your lap. He tried out worked out with the Celtics, decided to play with the team. And now he's been probably your best player in Summer League this year. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's some interest there. I'd be shocked if he doesn't at least get an invite to camp. But you got to act quick because I think teams are going to be interested in him. There's always going to be interest in any kind of big man that can come in and contribute. I also like what I've seen from Hugo Gonzalez as well. I just like the confidence he plays.
Yeah, some of the highlights you put out there.
Yeah, I mean,
guys,
first
game
especially.
Like a maniac.
Like, his debut was terrific. He's running around. Yeah. It's everything as advertised, defensively. Yeah. Offensively, he's not afraid to shoot the ball. I know his splits and his percentages aren't great shooting the ball, but he's not afraid to jack him up, and that's how you stay on the floor with the Celtics. Just shoot the ball. Just shoot it.
That's what you want.
You could work on that. You could work, like, the Celtics have had plenty of guys that have just figured out their shots over the years. Look at Derek White.
Oh, they got a ton of guys that weren't shooters.
Jaylen
Brown wasn't a shooter. Even Tatum really wasn't a shooter.
Al Horford.
Yeah.
Like, granted, that was a big process over the course of his career, but they made him into a respectable shooter. Like, they can kind of transform this kid. And I think everything's been as advertised with the motor he plays with, the defense that he has. Like, he's going to be fun to watch. I think you need to have this guy in the rotation this year because he could contribute.
All right, very good. That's Pure Hoops. Full hour of Pure Hoops at Justin M. Turpin on Twitter. Turp covers the C's, of course, for WEEI.com, and he joins us throughout the season as well. Thank you, Turp.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me on.
And check out our all-NBA quarter-century teams. Again, since 2000, it's a critical part of that. You're not going to find Jordan or Magic or Bird.
Somebody
on
said Bill Russell. Right
Russell
now.
I would have on my all-time list. Yeah. I would. Spoiler on that. That could be another day in the summer. But these are since 2000 at Jones and Keefe on both Twitter and Instagram. All right, we have one more hour of the program, including Grab Bag. And Bill Belichick responded to Robert Kraft's comments about the best thing Kraft ever did was taking a chance on Bill. Bill responded to that. So we'll have that coming up next year on WEEI.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
WEEI.
WEEI.